and the vulture feeding on the serpent, and the Sphinx is the key in the old ancient astrological zodiac, the Dendera of Egypt. The Sphinx lies between Leo and Virgo, the head of the woman, the tail of the lion, to let you know that unlike the astrological signs that start with another figure of the zodiac, you start with Virgo and you end with Leo. God wrote his message in the stars. Why, you know, I hear that Mount Wilson out here is going to be discontinued. I've made it public. If nobody else will do it, they give me a chance. I'll raise the money to save it for the citizens of Los Angeles. I'll do a program from that observatory. God wrote his message in the stars. Well, my Bible tells me that God's going to have a symbol at the border and in the center of Egypt in the last days. He's either going to place one there, or somebody else is going to place one there, or there's always been one there that will have its meaning revealed. Now, those who know Hebrew, numerology is again a truth that's taken and bent out of shape. It hardly works with the English language that has Arabic numerals. Greek and Hebrew, the numbers are the letters. We adapt or adopt some of the Latin letters to our numerical system when we use Roman numerals. Letters are numbers. The Greek first letter alpha is the number one. The second letter beta is number two. That's where numerology works. Kabbalah carries the science of numbers a bit too far. And in ancient Jewish Kabbalah techniques, they will interpret every word of Scripture with the numerical meaning, as well as the symbol of letters. You take any verse of Scripture that has a numerical total. You take these words in Isaiah 19 and 20, give them their numerical value, an amazing thing happens. Here it is. You take the text in Hebrew, take the numerical value of each word. The first word, for example, has four letters. First letter has the numerical value 2, second one 10, third one 6, fourth one 40, for a total of 58 in the first word. Take every word of that scripture I just read, Isaiah 19, 19 to 20, add up the numerical value, comes to 5,449, which just happens to be the height of the Great Pyramid in pyramid inches. Now, what's a pyramid inch? Three times in that Great Pyramid's interior chambers, and particularly in the antechamber, which is the map room of the interior chambers of the Great Pyramid, there is the unit that is the measuring unit of the Great Pyramid laid out. That just happens to be, now confirmed by modern science, an exact 1/500,000,000 of the diameter of the Earth from pole to pole. You take the Earth from North Pole to South Pole and divide it into 500,000,000 units. One of those units is what is called the pyramid inch. It is the unit of measurement that is the key to the design of the Great Pyramid. 4,000 years ago plus, this pyramid was designed with the basic unit being the basic unit by which you can measure this universe. During the French Revolution, the savants devised the meter system, which is to go from equator to pole around the surface, which is a varying figure. You use it, you distort the universe with that metric system. from North Pole to South Pole, you have the exact unit, and it's built into the pyramid. And this verse of Scripture in Isaiah 19, numerically translated, comes to 5,449 pyramid inches, which is exactly the height of the pyramid from base to top. Call it an accident, I call it a key in God's Word to tell us what that altar or witness is in the land of Egypt that's in the midst and at the border thereof. Got two keys. The geographic location, the pyramid inches to the top of it. Now, for years, people have debated. Pyramidology took off into tangents and extremes. I've even had people criticize me for teaching about it. Why? I think we should find. I don't need anything but God's Word to teach truth. But when I see God's handiwork everywhere, this is a scientific age. Of all ages of mankind, this is a scientific age. And God has placed in the middle and at the border of Egypt and laid the groundwork for a testimonial in this scientific age of His control. He is the Lord of hosts. That means He's the controller of everything, including inanimate objects. Now, when those Scottish astronomers and the scientists dug into the pyramid in the mid-1800s and discovered the passageways so uniquely lined up, and discovered that unlike the rest of the copycat pyramid structures in Egypt, this one, we don't have our large drawing out here, but I don't need it. I can show it here. Unlike the rest of those that were burial places, this ancient pyramid, in addition to a descending passage, had an ascending passage and two chambers called alternately the Queen's Chamber and the King's Chamber. But they discovered something else, that at a given point in history, when the North Pole star was not Polaris, the North Star, not the North Pole, when the North Star was not Polaris, but rather the Dragon Star, the particular star being Thuban, in the constellation Draconis, the dragon constellation, at a given date, that star's light shined down this descending passage, and a mirror would reflect it at noontime at one date in some 26,000 years. And a scored line lined up this pyramid with the Pleiades and the star Alcyon in that blessed constellation. A crosshair marking lined up these interior passages once they were opened by that Arab in the Middle Ages, and a dating system was set up whereby the history of the world was laid out in lines measured out by the pyramid inch. Now, interestingly, that pyramid inch and the cubit that is some 25 inches is the same measuring unit, which explains why it's sometimes called the sacred inch, that is used to design the Ark of the Covenant, the Temple of Solomon. And Ezekiel makes it very clear when he designs the temple specifications for the millennium, is to be the long cubit, not the short cubit, which is that sacred cubit of the pyramid inch. That measuring unit was used only by Noah and the Ark, Moses and the tabernacle, Solomon and the temple, and be used again in the millennium. For some mysterious reason, the pyramid inch surfaces in England and in America. You take a hair out of your head and slice it in half. Half the width of a human hair is the deviation through the centuries of the British inch and the American inch from the pyramid inch. Somebody connected this ancient sacred measuring unit used by the Hebrews and used in the building of this great pyramid to the British and the American people. The ascending passage, blocked by a granite plug that makes passage through it in symbol a miracle. One time in history, you mark from the crosshair downward to the place where it turns up, you come to 1453 B.C. You count the inches up to the point where this stooped over passage opens up 280.1 inches into the Grand Gallery. It is exactly 33 A.D. A marking that I've taught on before also marks the birth of Christ at 2 B.C. It took years for history to match up to what the pyramid already said, that the Exodus took place in the 15th century B.C., not in the 13th century B.C. It took centuries to correct the error based upon a statement of Josephus regarding a supposed eclipse, and modern astronomy to prove that Jesus was born 2 B.C. and not 4 B.C. Pyramid said it all along. We have already taught this pyramid locates the hidden years of Paul's ministry. And you come to the great step in 1844, and you move into these chambers and passageways that move toward the king's chamber, and you know already that it specifically pinpoints. Let me find it. You don't really want me to get back on this pyramid, do you? Here are the dates pinpointed in diagram. The scored lines that start the dating, 2141 B.C. The opening marked at 2623 B.C. The turn upward, which is the exodus and the ascent of man under law, 1453 B.C. The breaking upward into the Grand Gallery, A.D. 33. And then you come, as I've said, to the great step and to those... I'm sure I can find them. I really believe I can. If I don't, we'll just drop the subject. But I think I can find them. Here we are. As you come into the entrance of the king's chamber and you move vertical, you come to a low passage where you have to stoop. It just so happens that that low passage... You enter it the exact day that World War I broke out, and you come out of it into the antechamber the exact day that World War I ended. You go through the antechamber, which is the map room of the interior passages. You stoop again. It so happens that that's the beginning of the Depression. You come out in 1936 at the end of the Depression. Then you have to turn right. 286, I said 280 earlier, 286.1 inches to the right. And you'll find the open coffer that has the exact cubic space that the Ark of the Covenant has. You keep going till you hit this wall, it's August 1953, thereabouts. Now, we've taken you that far and no further. And tonight we're not going to take you any further. Now, there are people that have argued for years the only markings, other than the scored mark inside the pyramid that determines the crosshair of the stars that give you your dating system, the only other marks in the pyramid are these inscriptions in these three upper passages. And because they contain a cartouche of Cheops, which means Lord of Light, it has been taught that Cheops maybe built this pyramid and that it was built during his reign. I have argued that Cheops could have adopted the cartouche as his own and thereby created the impression. A recent book that I'll be on when I return to these King Chamber passages has offered very convincing proof that these additions are forgeries. And I'll offer you the convincing proof why these were added by a later forger trying to gain a reputation as he broke into these upper passageways. Most likely there were no markings in here at all. That's what's amazing. In a land of idol worship, where every other pyramid has all kinds of heathen symbols of idol worship, there is not a single heathen design anywhere inside this great pyramid. Now, to briefly summarize the truth, the history of mankind under the influence of Satan, symbolized with a dragon star and the particular star Thuban, which means subtle, you follow in pyramid inches to the bottom of this pit, man is hopelessly destined to fall in the pit. Though the upward passage past this granite plug symbolizes the passage of the Israelites under law until we were redeemed from the law by the resurrection of Christ, you couldn't get there. The plug blocked the way except miraculously. Man hopelessly is descending. The well shaft, the displacement factor of sin being rectified back the exact number of inches, typifies Christ's death who descended in the pit in our behalf, and it breaks out into this open gallery of grace at the exact point on the calendar of 33 A.D. So the whole pyramid is a plan of man's descent to the pit without the miraculous deliverance of Christ and the ascent by grace into the king's chamber. The history of the world has outlined descending under Satan and by God's grace, the ascent of the soul all the way to the king's chamber. Now, when the hieroglyphics were broken and the Rosetta Stone made it possible to understand that hieroglyphics represented an alphabet and not just caveman drawings, from there, they were able to interpret things formerly not understood, including the Book of the Dead, the Egyptian Book of the Dead, was called the Book of the Dead because they were scrolls buried with the dead. As they were able to transcribe them, it was then known that from the most ancient times of Egyptian history, this pyramid was always seen as containing a story in stone of the descent of man and the ascent of the soul. It always typified in the open coffer the place of the Messiah. It was called Enoch's pillar, lending substance to the idea that God revealed its design to Enoch, and if not built before the flood, the plans carried by Noah were subsequently used for the building of the pyramid, Shem being the likely candidate. Enoch, with the watchers, some believe, built it, and it was during that time of angelic help with the watchers that the terrible passage of the Old Testament of the union of these sons of God with the daughters of men had produced the evil giants before the flood occurred. But the building of the pyramid and its builder has always been a mystery, God being the architect. If this is the altar and monument of Isaiah 19, it will stand there to redound to God's glory, and God can point in a scientific age to a stone monument that has no deviation and say, "I told you so. This is the way history was going to work. I told you so." Centuries before it happened, centuries before man was able to determine it from archaeology, the pyramid said what the Exodus meant and when it occurred. The pyramid pinpointed the birth of Christ. The pyramid pinpointed the resurrection of Christ. The pyramid pinpointed the First World War. The pyramid pinpointed the Great Depression. The pyramid pinpointed many other incidents of history, particularly in the history of mankind on the downward path. If that's the monument, then God was the architect, and the study of the pyramid is one of the continuing studies that we stay on. The amazing thing about this pyramid, it was lined up perfectly true north. It memorialized in its measurements the three calendar years, the nominalistic, the sidereal, and the solar year. It memorialized one of the great mysteries of astronomy, until recent years in modern instruments, the precession of the equinoxes, a 25 to a 28,000 year sequence. It memorialized the circumference of the earth. It memorialized the distance from the earth to the sun in its measurements. It memorialized the mean land level of the earth. It memorialized the weight of the earth. It memorialized the shape of the earth. All of those scientific things that confound the mind that people would know that centuries ago, it proves and disproves better than anything. Proves God's word, disproves the evolutionary theory. The man started out a worm or whatever he was and got better. Man started out great and got worse. Somebody very smart was around here sometime that knew more than man knows now, and nobody with the modern instruments of science could build the pyramid today. Nobody. Bechtel Corporation couldn't do it. Other things that memorialize, built into the pyramid, is a triangle that's called the Christ Triangle. And this pyramid sits in Egypt on the edge of this plateau. You lay the Christ Triangle that's memorialized in the pyramid, that is a triangle drawn at the point on the line where Christ was born and the point on the line where he raised. You lay that triangle down on the face of the pyramid on the north side and project a rum line, and the line will cross Bethlehem. Then way over here is little island of England. And on Salisbury Plain in the south of England is an equally mysterious monument of circular stones called Stonehenge. Mysterious, amazing, standing there for centuries. Equally disturbing in its implications. And if you take, am I boring you? If you take this Stonehenge monument, which is a, see if I got any broad pictures of it. No. It consists of a ditch. Let me try to get a pencil marker here, Peter, and then we'll work together with your camera. You want me to quit, don't you? I've been over some of this. You take Stonehenge, standing on the plains. I've got to have a picture of it. There's got to be a picture somewhere of Stonehenge in this book. There it is. 4,000 years these stones have stood. And these trilithon monuments are hinged. Amazing. Now, this Stonehenge monument, reconstructed, consists of a ditch, a circle of holes called Aubrey holes, each of which are numbered by the archaeologists, all the way around the interior of the ditch. Another set of holes called Y holes. These are the Aubrey holes, and here's another set of holes. Then a third set of holes called Z holes. Then the monument proper, which reconstructed, consists of the Sarsen circle all the way around, the Bluestone circle, then two horseshoe sections, a blue stone horseshoe, and then the trilithon, big monuments that connect stones being hinged together. Let me see if I can find a... Here's a good visual picture of the way it looks with the stones hinged together. Now, I'll try to find a picture for you of the way these trilithons hinge. I like pictures. I think I can find a picture of a trilithon hinge. Here it is. See, the trilithons come together with a tongue and groove and a little knob and a tenon so that they sit over, little hole, mortise, would sit over the tenon. And the tongue of the rock would fit into the groove of the rock. And through the centuries, those trilithon tops would sit like a table on the upright. Now, interestingly enough, these stones are lined up in such a way that a sunrise at a given point is sighted in across what they call the heel stone, which is but a corruption of an ancient word that means sun. You'll come close with our word heel stone, some people think just a heel. But we have many words that sound like heel, our word helium. Now, the sunrise could be spotted, and this was a monument lined up astronomically to the sunrise and to the seasons. Now, something very interesting. When you come to know this monstrous Stonehenge monument, leaps out at you. You line up the summer solstice and the winter solstice by sighting the heel stone in through this opening that goes out. Then your Aubrey circles, which are these mounds all around the edge, divided into 7,000 equal units. You have a chronometer of time for prophetic unfolding of 7,000 years. I'm taking long leaps tonight, not because I expect you to remember all the detail. It's a gestalt that I'm reaching for tonight, a feel of a relationship between Palestine and a Hebrew people, and Egypt and a pyramid, and England and the ancient circular monuments. This 360-degree circle can be broken up into units, sighting in at a given point at the summer solstice, and you can break this circle into 7,000 equal units and let it represent a chronometer of 7,000 years of history with a given starting point, just like the stars line up the starting point in the pyramid. A summer solstice lines up a starting point in Stonehenge, and you suddenly have for yourself a prophetic map that goes through 7,000 years.
This is the end of side three. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side four. Thank you.